Welcome to GamerCast. This is episode 80. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul. This is GamerCast.
With our new intro. We're trying out some new groovy stuff with a song, so if it's rubbish, we'll go back to the old way, but I thought we'd try something different. We're keeping on, keeping everything fresh with the show. Here's a bit of a pre-E3 lull at the moment.
Post-E3
lull. So we're just going to do a quick show. We're out.
We're going to be reviewing some old games, so stick around to find out what those old game, singular or plural, whichever we do, is.
Yep.
But slight change this week. There's no live show because we're actually recording this on Friday. So that's why the show sucks.
Yeah. Apologies for me, basically, because I've got Friday off till Monday. I am about, as you can see, it's a Friday and I'm about, but all through the day I shall be out on a motorbike. So, if anybody is a local person to GamerCast and lives in the local area of Yeovil and knows the radio station Ivel FM, if you ever see the motorbike, the Ivel motorbike driving around with, or you don't and you listen to Ivel FM, you hear Darren, the traffic bloke who tells you how the traffic's doing, that's the guy I'm riding around with at the moment doing my tests. So he's pretty cool. Quite cool driving around behind the Ivel FM bike. But so I'll be doing that until Monday, which I'll be taking my test, so back to normal after next week. So, but we haven't bought anything new, so we thought we'd go back and play a bit of old school games that we were itching to play, and we've got some more that we want to play, which we'll do a bit more of a review on, because one of these games which Paul doesn't own, he's only had a play when I brought it up to show him, and I've had a go on it, then took it off my computer and played on it since. So we're going to sort it out for a bit of link up on his computers to have a bit of a review on it and have a look at it. So, like we said, we're still going to keep going back and trying to get a hold of some old games. I think that'd be the best thing to do, is to go through a lot of what our library of stuff we've had for ages and have never looked at while we were on GamerCast, and give it a bit
of... Yeah, let's review Empire Earth. Good game.
Mm. Right.
Anyway, let's actually get on with the letters.
Okay, yep.
Okay, so we got one from D-Comp again. Or D-Free Comp, as I should pronounce it, to be annoying.
He's decomposing.
Yeah, or decompressing. I do enjoy Dimension on Air. I would donate money, as I know you need it. Yes, we do need it. We had to break the bank to pay for our feast we have here today.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you set up an area to make game donations, I would happily donate something for you to review. That's good. I don't know how to really do that.
The only thing I could think of
would... I know. Adam puts his address out and everyone sends it to Adam. So parcel bombs, games, death threats.
Is there any way... Oh, no. You won't be able to do that. The only thing I could think of would be people shove something in a jiffy bag, mail it to us, but they put a printed sticker or something inside of their address, and we'll have it review it, but we won't start keeping everybody's games. When we've done with it, we can just stuck it back in an envelope and throw it in the mail, and we'll just do a review of a game or something. So something that you're thinking about, oh, I'll trade that in soon, or I'm not fussed with it, then you could just whiz it to us and we'll do a review of it and check it out and then send it back. So we're still gonna,
but if we like it, we may accidentally keep it.
But because I still got to wait until payday and get some money aside, and I'm going to go down and rent a couple of games out for us to do a review on from Blockbuster. We'll go back to some old games that were kind of like I missed out on. We're kind of like, no, I can't be bothered to spend £40 on that. And we can go have a go on them now.
He also goes on to say, also, I am looking for a new game to buy for Xbox 360 or Xbox One. My likes are tactical shooters, RPGs, racing games. The games I own are PGR3, Gears of War, Call of Duty 2, Halo 2, Splinter Cell, all of them, Halo CE, Grow 2, Oblivion, and Forza 1.
Well, I'm going to start there. Get Forza 2.
Yeah.
Definitely.
My budget is low. Forza 2 is 40 quid.
I would say start looking at maybe... You've got Grow, and you've got Grow 2. Well, if you've got Grow 2, there ain't much in multiplayer you need for Grow 1. If you complete Grow 1, I'd say grab Grow 1, grab Forza 1, probably grab your Splinter Cells, or grab the ones you've completed and keep the good ones for multiplayer. Go trade those in at your local video game store and get Forza if you're low on a budget, or something else. Forza would be good.
Forza 2 gets my vote.
Gears of
Rainbow
War.
Six is
did
good.
Did he say had Gears of War? Yeah, he's got Gears of War.
Rainbow Six is good. Craig and everyone's raving about it.
Yeah, I've noticed that Craig's been online a hell of a lot. It's making me inkling to ask him to go around and have a go on it and see what it's like, because I'm a big Rainbow Six fan. Always have been since Rainbow Six and the PC first-person shooter of it. I was a bit annoyed when Rainbow Six 3 came out on the Xbox, and it was all good and everything. But it went down to having just a small unit of team that you could replace the characters with. But I remember the classic old PC one where you could have multiple teams, and beforehand it was a three-dimensional map you could zoom around with a floating eye, as it were, and you look down on the map and you go through up and down the levels and you click to say where someone goes to. So you're in team gold and you've got blue, green and red. And they're like, say you had loads of every team out, and there are two man teams. You send them going around clearing all these areas as you're going following your route, and you know from intel that there are some terrorists in this one room. And say it's a room that's got a double floor with a balcony going around.
I have a question. How do you know they're terrorists?
Oh, they were making demands or something. That's why you're called in, because you're Rainbow.
Are you sure they're not just civilians?
No, they're terrorists.
I make demands all the time. Am I a terrorist?
You don't have a gun. I'll get you a gun and we can make you a terrorist.
Okay.
Then we'll have Rainbow around here and we can interview
him. Hang on, do terrorists know how to fire guns, or do they just know how to operate suicide bombs?
Well, I don't know. I must admit, in Rainbow, the first ones, you had to be careful. Most people who were used to first-person shooters would go in guns a-blazing and
dying.
Headshot, and you drop down dead. You've got to stick your head up, double tap, stick your head back in again. But no, the great thing about it was, you could put choke points to say, right, go as far as here and freeze and stay there until I say Alpha. And you had Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta. So you could time it so when you went Alpha, certain parts would happen, and you knew that if you pressed Beta, you'd make sure someone wasn't sat on Beta if you still wanted them to hold. So if someone gets to this room quick, you have them on Charlie, and everybody else you go in Alpha, Bravo, and then you go in Alpha again, and you're making them go burst through these doors, and then they all get to each door, you get to your door, and you literally press Charlie, burst through, and don't have to worry about the rest of them. Go in and head shoot the ones you know you need to go to, because the rest of your teams will all burst through, throwing flashbangs, and you take charge of the room simultaneously. They took that away for the console version of it.
They dumbed it down.
Yeah, which was a shame, and I must admit, it would be nice to have that sort of thing brought back, especially on the 360 version. Maybe as an option or something, because even that is usable in multiplayer. If you had a lot of people who all wanted multiplayer in the sense of, instead of being on a map and you're going around shooting each other, if you were a team, people trying to organize yourself as a team, and you go on voice chat and everyone's got a cursor, and you can start a bit like a bit of chalk on a chalkboard, and you're saying, well, we guys go around here, we'll take these in, we'll go around this way, yep, we need to go to as far as here and then stop, wait till this guy go through the middle, and then we both burst in at the same time, and then you go and you're seeing this line going along the ground telling you take the next right, take the next left. Terrace would be here. Which would be quite cool. But yeah, Rainbow Six, Las Vegas. Probably a game to get. Most of it, if you've got the net, do get as many demos as you can just for trying stuff out.
Yeah, my budget is low, but I have no problem with shelling out $40 or less. A DS game would also be okay, but I'm primarily looking for a nice big multiplayer game. Single player is crap. P.S. Sorry for the long letter, and yes, I realise my saying this is furthering the length. Your fan, D-Comp. DS games.
DS games,
is
latest DS game.
Battlefield 2142 on the DS. Can we do that somehow?
No, there is more first-person shooter style games coming out. Adventuring type games, the new Transformer game has come out of the DS, which I was expecting for a movie game to be a load of crap, but they've actually upgraded in the sense of it's a three-dimensional battle game, full transforming, and there's two versions, Autobots and Decepticons, with a full online multiplayer section to it. So
on the DS?
Yeah. They're pushing the multiplayer of the DS on Wi-Fi an incredible large amount these days. There's one called Custom Robots, which will be coming out for the Wii, which is very cool. It's very much like Pokemon, where you go around that sort of character. But instead of sitting there and, you know, you're pressing...
Robotic Pokemon.
No, but you know how Pokemon works, where you've got...
No,
like,
I've never played Pokemon.
You've got drop-down. It's a bit like Final Fantasy. This attack, I do it on this person, and someone does a little groovy animation. Custom Robots. You've got your own little robot, and supposedly what you're doing is you're going to a table, and it creates a virtual reality robot. And you're just pushing buttons and you're fighting each other. But while you're playing on the actual game...
So it's like Robot Wars.
Yeah. But your robot's on a disc and you're loading it on a video game. In the game world it is. But as far as the graphics is, you've got a three-dimensional robot and you've got... And it run around and it's very much similar to Metroid Prime on the DS. Metroid Prime Hunters, which is an amazing first-person shooter on the DS. This is not first-person, it's third-person, but it's still fast... beaten action and for online. So there's plenty of online capability for DS at the moment. It's getting more and more. The best thing to do, if you're not sure, look for the Wi-Fi symbol on all the games, or best bet is to actually buy an official Nintendo magazine and go to one of the last couple of pages and they have a Wi-Fi section with all the latest Wi-Fi games and what Wi-Fi it is, because like Final Fantasy is Wi-Fi, but that's only for sending mail to each other.
Name.
Pokemon, you've got full capabilities. Star Fox is full three-dimensional fighting in the air and in the Starfighters. So there's lots of different games out there that are at different levels of Wi-Fi connectivity. It is pretty cool. But yeah, first person's on 360, I'd say. Probably Rainbow Six would be a good one out there.
Look at Rainbow Six, because everyone's going on about it.
Something to keep you going until at least Halo 3 comes out.
Well, that's only like a couple of months now, isn't it?
Yeah, so if this is kind of like, if you have to buy this game and you have to say to yourself, if I buy a game, how long before I can buy another one, and will that mean that I have to wait for Halo? Because to be honest, you don't want to wait for Halo. That'd be painful, wouldn't it? For yeah. Halo to come out and know you can't afford it because you just bought some other game that you're bored of now. You'd just be kind of like, oh.
67 days.
67
so
days.
So there's 65 days when this actually airs.
So. What's the actual date? It's October, isn't it?
25th of September.
That's the 25th of September, just before
the 26th of September in Europe.
No, I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to be good.
But yeah, definitely Forza 2 is the only game I own at the moment, and it is good enough. The paint scheme, the sim of it is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, have you posted up your paint jobs on the forums yet?
No. I might just have to send them to you and get them posted.
Oh, what?
Well, I've had to reset everything. I haven't had a chance.
Well, you can post them direct with the new software. You can attach them to a post, so you don't need to upload them anywhere else.
That's cool.
So do that.
So I don't have to log in.
Yeah, you have to log in. But then you can post it on there. You don't need to put it on like wherever it is, all the dodgy image websites.
Okay.
Or get me to put it somewhere. We also got a letter from Shamu, who we tried to turn into a Simpsons character, but failed miserably.
Mm.
Yeah, anyway. Nice section on the new Silent Hill. Sticking out tongue. Also, did we talk about Silent Hill?
We mentioned it with the movies that there was a new one coming out.
Oh wow, we actually talked about stuff. Also, just wanted to say about the Hitman movie trailer. Isn't really much of a trailer, more of a teaser. Well, whatever.
Mm.
We're not going to get into a Western style debate where he says like teaser trailer video, whatever.
It was an electronic video on the internet I watched and got very excited about.
I think the fact they used Eve or Ave Maria, whoever that is. Who's that?
Female character in it. Probably from some of the previous ones before I got my hands on the series.
In the trailer, it doesn't say much either. From the look of the trailer to me, it's not going to be very similar to the game. Pretty much because it's a poor choice of game to make a film about, unless you like action films, of course. Anyway, just wanted to say that. Oh, and Timothy Oliphant, whoever that is, looks like the bad guy from Die Hard, because he is.
Yeah, I was watching the trailer again, and there was a bit where we looked at it, and I realised it was the guy from Die Hard, although he doesn't have any hair.
Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when the guy was on the roof. P.S. Do you know Mad Max? Simpsons quote.
Yeah.
Bruce, so have you got anything to say about that? Because I don't have a clue what it's talking about.
Yeah, I must admit, I agree with her, you know. It's not going. We're not saying because it's off a video game is going to be a great thing. It's just basically.
No, generally they're crap.
It is just using Hitman to make a film, but from making films.
Hit Monkey.
To be honest, films made from games where either the story is 100% pure and can just slide straight onto film, or ones where there isn't much to take away from it, but you don't need to clone copy it. A bit like where they try to do with. Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, which were beat-em-ups. There's not much storyline going there, but they felt like they had to get every character in there. It makes the game really crap. Where, for argument's sake, if you did a Halo, there's so much raw storyline to play with that's in the background because they've written all the books and stuff, that you could probably write a really good film. And
absolutely.
I would say you would be up there with kind of like comic books, where some of the comic book ones have been really good because there's such a following behind it and the stories are so depth and rich. There's a plethora of stuff to choose from. Now with Hitman, I would say that's on the... It's got a good storyline that flows through the back of the arc of this story about Agent 47. But the whole concept is it's a free open game for you to just wander around and you have to hit this guy and then that's the end of it. And then you get another bit of storyline and then your next mission where you've got to go and shoot someone. So it's good because it means that there is a basic story for a structure of everything to be built off, but there's more gaps for them to add good stuff in and make a good action film. Where if there was too much there that they had to try and stick to, you're going to start causing problems because then it goes down the line of, we're trying to copy the game and it films crap. Where if it's kind of like, there's nothing to copy, shit, we got to make this as we go along, so...
What, like Doom? Where they tried to, like... Because the Doom plot was so, let's say, impolite towards Christian viewpoints,
yeah,
they invented this whole crap with a virus, and they,
yeah, where actually from what actually was. So see, that's what
which
I mean.
Doesn't explain why you get the big monster things or anything like that.
Yeah, where that's what I mean. They were going along, and there is a line, and if you go away from it. It ruins the game. Or if there isn't a line and you're trying to get the film good, you try and make one up and it makes it not good. Where if there's gaps, like there isn't much to Hitman, they can, as long as they fill in good stuff in the gaps, then it'll be a good film. If you fill in crap stuff, it'll just be a crap one. But yeah, I must admit, Doom, good action film, but disappointing from actually playing Doom 3. It was just...
Well, Doom 3 had the sense that there's a really good story and you just need more.
Hmm. But wasn't pushed.
Because working the ancient civilization and all that sort of stuff was interesting. A bit predictable, but interesting.
Hmm.
Anyway, so that's our letters this week.
Yep.
You can send us a letter by posting on the blog at gamercast.net or by sending us an email to feedback@gamercast.net.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So yeah, thanks Decomp and Shamu for the letters this week.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much.
So we're going to touch on a couple of news items, which is a hit post E3. First one is there's going to be no XO7 event this year.
Right.
Microsoft normally holds these XO whatever events. They're basically just a European like mini Xbox festival where they, you know, show off what they're doing and all that sort of stuff, but it's not going to be one this year. So yeah.
Also seen that I think it was Logitech or something like that, one of the standard peripheral for Nintendo and Sony and Xbox controllers has released onto Play there.
Is this a new news item?
Yeah, I just thought of it. Released the Zapper gun. Now,
so what's this Logitech?
I think it's Logitech.
Released something or other.
Or some.
Or other.
It, yeah. People that make the controllers, the cheap controllers.
For gamers, Mad Cats.
It might have been for gamers. Or
okay, so it's. I'll put somebody releases something or other.
Yeah, third party. Yeah, a third party releases.
Yeah, so if you're wondering why we've got this crazy thing in the show notes, somebody releases something or other, it's because Adam can't remember.
Put Nintendo Wii Zap Gun. Yeah, they've released their version of the Wii Zap Gun. Basically, it just looks like
Wii Zap.
The components from the nunchuck. And it has this cable coming out the back, and it goes in through there and goes through a hole to plug in. So it you know, they haven't got the technology to redesign it from the proper Zap Gun, which was all built as all one, and all you had to do was slide on the Wii remote. This one looks like they've jerry-rigged a DS controller to actually slide it on there, but it doesn't look fully like they've got the right molds to have the cable coming the right way through the components for the nunchuck. But yeah, it's still going to be good because it means they've got them out there ready for the release of Sega's Ghost Squad and Capcom's Umbrella Corporation.
But can I just go back to what I was talking about before you interrupted?
Yeah, I just wanted to spit that out because I just thought
we just spit it out in the middle of my XO7 thing.
Yeah,
okay. So yeah, but basically the reason behind it is Microsoft. Well, Microsoft, the official press speak is, we decide to whatever we review how we promote our games every year, and we decided this year to promote them individually because XOX normally takes place towards the end of September, and that's with the Halo launch, so they're doing a big Halo event instead.
Which is a good idea.
Yeah, we should get someone to go to that for us. Wherever it is in the world.
Probably not here.
Yeah, it's going to be just downtown. Yeah, and they get about 20 people turn up. And they're all like, 10 of them are hobos, the other 10 are drunk.
Oh, so the craziest thing. I went down to Domino's to get some pizza, but I had to be quick, so I went down in the car. And as I was driving down the bypass, there was this guy in a pair of jeans, and he looked like he was about to step out in front of me, and I noticed all he was wearing was jeans. And he looked like he'd been rolling in the dirt. And
are you sure it was dirt?
It was going black. He looked like he was laying in the road. And he looked absolutely drunk as a skunk, and I was like, right, please don't let me have to slow down next to him, because I was worried he was going to try and get in, but or fall on my bonnet. He was all over the shot, and he had that horizon look when you see somebody's drunk, who you know, either look at the floor and they're kind of, or they just look at the horizon and nothing else exists apart from something 5 miles away, and they just kind of stagger following that vanishing point, and they run into everything. Oh, it's crazy.
Woo, so I'll put that in the show notes as Adam runs hobo over.
Adam spelled like drunk
hobo. How do you spell hobo?
Nearly runs hobo over.
Adam nearly runs hobo. See, we're padding the show notes out. Anyway, also in the news was Peter Moore is leaving Microsoft and going to Electronic Arts. Yeah, he was the dude in charge of some Xbox thing at Microsoft.
Mm. Yeah, one of the big speakers for the Xbox 360.
One of the big like free executives who hang out around Xbox place. So he's moving to E3. They're basically giving him loads of money.
E3,
like $1.5 million per year.
E3 is now the big empire now, because I must admit,
E3.
Not E3, EA.
E3 is now a software company. Oh, no.
EA. It's
yeah, and you can talk. You were just playing an EA game.
Yeah, I even have spoken to people who work there. I went to part of my course when I was at uni. We went to a company called CineSite in London.
And they had just been acquired by EA and everyone was miserable.
No, they
bought us out for 50 quid.
They do special
and now
effects.
Telling us what to
they
do.
They do special effects for a movie. They were doing Alien vs. Predator, Troy,
oh,
and Harry
yeah,
Potter.
I remember that.
When I went there, and one of the guys we were talking to, he showed up at our end of year show. But he wasn't. I thought, oh, it's the guy from CineSite. And then he stands up and he's newly been acquired by EA. And he was there for EA, not CineSite, and he's left. So yeah, I must admit, they're doing well in the sense of they go around and headhunt out all the top people.
Yeah, so Peter Moore is going to be heading up their sports division.
But to be honest, if they're getting more people like that in, it's only a good thing because it's going to push EA in the right direction.
Is that?
Hopefully. I hope having someone that high up from Xbox is going to have someone saying, look, let's not do it the EA way. If you do it like this and... you know, it's going to work better. You're going to get the money, you're going to get the sales, and hopefully you might be able to push EA in the right direction, at least with releases on Xbox 360. Because I must admit, EA really do screw up the live system from time to time using their own servers.
Yeah, they need to stop doing that.
So, having someone with background through the development of Xbox 360 probably is a bonus to him. It's probably one of the reasons they want him, is that he's going to be a key feature for them.
Yeah, but come on, Jay Allard is really the...
oh yeah,
the uber kicking ass, like a trendy 40-year-old guy.
Yeah, they got a hold of him, they'd be sorted. But no.
Yeah, I mean, what's Peter Moore done? He, you know, headed up the Xbox division after JLR moved on to another project, which is probably the Zune. And then what happened last week? Oh yeah, $1 billion repair bill, 3-year warranty, faulty consoles.
Yeah, they're saying that his move has nothing to do with the fact that Xbox has announced that the Xbox 360's warranty for the red light problem has been extended, which everybody knows is the reason why I keep going through Xboxes.
Surely other executives high up in the company would be looking down on him for that screw up.
Yeah, it is looking...
probably fell on his shoulders in the end.
I just noticed there's a massive piece of fluff attached to the side of your wardrobe with
the
cat.
That's where the cat walks in and out.
And has scratched the whole side of it trying to sharpen its claws. I thought it was a spider web at first. It looked very cheesy.
Yeah, spider webs up there.
It looked very more like spider webs you get in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom where they're going through stuff. No, Raiders of the Lost Ark with Big Ball comes there. You know where that Big Ball rolls down and chases him?
Yes.
That's actually in Wookiee Hole Cave.
Woo.
Yeah.
Personally, I prefer the version the Simpsons did of him.
Yeah, oh yes.
Where Homer was the big ball.
And he was chasing Bart, and then Bart slides underneath and grabs his red cap, and then he jumps on the bus, and he's like, and his hat's blowing in the wind. And Homer's going, come here, in his underwear, a pair of wide fronts. Oh, that's great. Right, on to the review, shall we? Or do you want to talk about
Yeah, if you want to kick it off, man, because you're the dude who played it.
Yeah, we, after...
Last week, I installed a game on my computer.
Which I've been going on about, going, I need to play it, and when
And yesterday, I installed it on the other computer.
So, I haven't installed it on my computer yet, so I came over and we had a bit of bash on Battlefield 2.
Well, yeah, if you install it on yours, we'll pick a server and have a game later.
Mm.
That way, it's not just one-on-one. On a 64-player map, where we just have to keep looking at each other's screens to see where we are, so we can find
chasing each other in a helicopter. It was good to go back. I must admit, fair enough, it kind of makes me feel how graphically PC software has gone along, considering when I went back to playing that, it felt
it's really got the fog.
Yeah.
Where you can't see anything.
And it got really blocky. So, yeah, I must admit, I'm... completely forgot about some of the quality that's increased over the years with PC games, that it kind of makes you think, whoa, I remember it being better than that, because that's the ultimate trick to the eye, is playing games, then not playing it for a while, and your mind basically does a makeover over any memory of your game all the way through, to the point that when you come back to play, it's like,
holy crap, this looks shit.
Exactly. I had a perfect example when I got hold of GT3, Gran Turismo 3 on the PlayStation 2 when that first came out. I got it on release. My mate James came over and we were house sitting for my mate Simon, who'd gone on his honeymoon with his wife, and we were just playing that hardcore all day, just trying to do it. And he was like, this just looks the same. And he goes, it's good, look, it's shiny, but it just looks the same as Gran Turismo 2. When he went home, I got a text saying, Gran Turismo 2 looks shit. And his mind just sold him that it just looks the same as that. And that's what this is like. Your mind thinks back to thinking it looks really good, but it's not until you go back and power up a game and have a go on it, and you're like, oh my god.
Well, yeah, because Battlefield 2 is 2 years old now.
It still plays good, though. It still really does play good. I must admit, more games need to have that concept design of a massive, well, the reason why it's called what it is, a massive battlefield to run around with. And with the whole taking over key points, it pushes that element back and forth. But before we did the show, me and Paul were talking about that there's no front line of the battle. It's not... We need
very rarely does a front line form in it.
Where we need stuff, first-person shooters that are getting a bit like what Supreme Commander has done for RTS. Stretch that battlefield a bit better so that you've got bases, and then you've got skirmishes in the middle. You've got a choke point to stop people coming across, so you can get people coming over in fighter jets. Fair enough, some of the maps we're playing are quite large, but there needs to be that bit in the middle where you're getting good choke points. Because you see some of these maps on, like, Command & Conquer 3, there's one with a river going through with these key points of bridges coming across in really good sniping positions. And you can bring the battle to a halt, and you can really fight for it and really push hard and then get past them, and then the battle will go up the hill to the base, where some of these maps don't have that. I must admit, looking at the maps from Halo 3, I'm liking those one way where it's a base and lots of choke points for the opposite team to try and fight their way up this.
Well, yeah, I spent a few hours yesterday playing as a squad leader. It was on the Arab versus America map, where America's has to capture all the Arab points on the map. You know, you go northwards and then you go across to the east and there's a bridge. You go across the bridge and you've got this, you know, four more points there. And the trouble I find is people just like sneak around and, you know, because that. I ordered my squad to defend the bridge to stop anyone, because we had been pushed right the way back to the bridge. I ordered my squad to defend that position, and you end up with these fucking idiots sneaking round back. It's annoying, because you can't. It was like a 30-player match, and you just can't have somebody guarding every individual point. You need a line. You need a choke point and a line to hold it, because when you've got a good battle going on that bridge, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's what it's
you
the
know,
whole
you've
point.
You've got like 10 people facing 10 other people.
Yeah. I'd done exactly the same thing when I was doing a map on Battlefield 2142. And there's
go and get it. Let's play it now.
And there's one map where you've got this bridge and people were coming across in the walkers, and you were having to go up to the high ground, and we were having to layer ourselves in this building so that there were more things for them to shoot at, so we could lay down covering fire, while someone would run around the side of him and start pummeling the crap out of him. But we were just cannon fodder. We were ducking up and down behind these walls trying to shoot at him. And we couldn't move from that position, or otherwise we would have been neutralized. But then we get a walker and keep it far enough back that as soon as someone comes across the bridge, we could shoot them. And we had to push forwards across this bridge bit at a time, using all the wreckages as cover. Because once you step out into that bridge, if anyone's on the other side, they could just blow you away. And there was no way to get across the bridge without having to use some sort of defense with these walkers. And it's what I mean. You live for that battle, to try and get past that obstacle. It's not like, oh, quick cover. Let's just go under the bridge and go across the river and sneak around. Fair enough, people go for that because they want to take people out from behind. But sometimes it's good to have a whole team going across as a squad. But.
Yeah, definitely. damn noobs, run around back.
But yeah, that's the other thing. We're going to
play it properly. Go across the bridge or don't bother.
We went on the big map, didn't we, that had the vertical liftoff jets on the aircraft carrier.
Gulf of Oman, 64 player map.
I must admit, it was quite fun even just playing that one-on-one.
Play Battlefield properly, one-on-one.
Instead of it going
around...
You've
got a really good front line there. There's just two people wandering around the map looking for each other.
It changed the element, because it took us a while before the element of what we were trying to achieve changed, because instead of it just you chasing me chasing you, it was try and go to my aircraft carrier or try to go to your runway and take you out when you respawn. And then the rest of the time, I would try and get somewhere as quick as possible in a helicopter skimming across the ground, land, and you're coming across in a tank, and it's how long will I stand by that lamppost waiting for the flag to go up? And then it's kind of like, nope, bail, I got to run for it, go jump back in my helicopter before you blow me up. And there was a bit of that going around, and then we were chasing each other in helicopters and airplanes, and then I started trying to just wait for him to be distracted and then fly across in an airplane really quickly, jump out and parachute down to a flagpole and take it. But yeah, there is limitations for playing one-on-one with those types of games.
Yeah,
but you need bots.
The whole capture all the flags is sort of pointless.
Because
I just captured all of them and you just kept spawning. That was the plan, capture all the points so the clock thing, so that you know the number ticks down really quickly, and then pin you down on your aircraft carrier, which is why I got in the Black Hawk with miniguns. Which nearly worked, but you kept jumping in the other aircraft.
Yeah, and then there was that one where I landed at the front of the aircraft carrier and I couldn't figure out how to actually get, because the F lock wasn't on, so I couldn't jump into the chain gun, so I had to go round and I sneaked up over the tower on the aircraft carrier, fell off the end. If I'd known about that really big chain gun at the end of it, the amount of times you had to be pinned at the tail of it, and all I had to do was get in, I could have just swung this gun round and just blown the aircraft clean out of the sky.
Yep. It's a shame I can't get in those things, because I would have gotten that, but they didn't let me get in it.
Mm.
I was tempted to go join the American side and then just get in and kill you anyway.
That's the thing I like about Battlefield 2142 is the fact with the Titan missions, you've got these two ships that are fully shielded, slowly coming towards each other. And if the battle is not coming, if you've got enough people playing, if no one is trying to get into the Titan and people, you've got that battle on the ground. If the battle on the ground gets close enough, you can get into the gun turrets and start swinging them around and shooting. You've got gun turrets that swing around on the top to shoot any aircraft coming in. So if you've got a good team and you're keeping some of them in small squads going down, but the rest of them staying on the Titan to defend it, then if people can come in with, you've got, same with how we had the Black Hawks and the Cobra helicopters, you've got the drop ships where you've got a fighter one and you've also got one troop carrier, so you can quickly come in, land, and then you've got to fight your way inside the Titan through many different levels, blowing them up. When you destroy one door and a power source, it opens up the next door, so you have to go down to the basement, work your way through until you can blow up the generator, and then the whole thing will just crash. And as that happening, you've got to run out the thing and jump off, fire at your parachute. But the cool thing is, if you're being left completely by yourself, running out of ammo, and you're getting yourself pushed back to the doorway, instead of thinking, well, I got here and someone's already nicked my dropship I got in here, or if you came equipped with a tank that fires off the drop pods in a bit like Halo 2 style, and you land there and you jump out and you think, hang on, I'm by myself, I'm not going to storm this Titan by myself, take out as many people as you can and then throw yourself off the side and wait until fall halfway down and eject your metal parachute out, and you just come to a complete stop and then you off you go.
Yeah,
different, good way of playing it. It's just a shame that they changed so much from the Battlefield 2 with the whole servers, and you have to log on and you've got to be on the net. They add so much that this would be a really good game to, with having a good set of bots. And they just do such a weird thing with Battlefield. They just went standardized it a little bit more, it would be so much better. Without all these passwords and servers and stuff, it's just makes it annoying. I must admit, Battlefield 2142 would be brilliant on Xbox Live.
I agree.
But still good. Definitely still good. I can't be asked to get the expansion pack for it.
No, waste of money.
Yeah.
because it's just the same as those smaller expansion packs that they had. Which, if you absolutely love it and you don't do anything other than play this game, then they're absolutely perfect. And a lot of people still play these games. They're absolutely amazing.
Oh god, there's 3,000 servers for Battlefield 2.
I imagine not many people play the old one.
What, 1942?
Yeah. But I must admit, I got the edition that comes with the Special Forces bit, where you can play as the SAS or the Russian one. What are they called? The
Spaznaz.
Yeah. But I must admit, that's quite cool with the grappling hook and the
grappling hook. What is it? Quake 2. Quake 2 capture the flag and grappling hook.
It is quite cool because you can throw it up and it means that you can get up onto a roof where you couldn't get around to the ladder. You've got this bit where you've got a building and you siphon out, shoot someone, and you know that you're running out of ammo. They're slowly...
You know you're running out of ammo? We'll call in some support.
Well, yeah, you know that you're being pinned down and you've got nowhere to back off and you're hiding around this notch in a corner of a building.
Run away, you coward.
Well, no, the ultimate thing is grappling hook, get up onto the roof.
The ultimate thing is to grenade spam and blow yourself up.
And then crouch down and you can go round, dropping behind him and attack him from behind. So it adds a new element. The other good thing about it is with a sniper rifle, you can really just get up high, shoot loads of people, and then you pull out a crossbow, fire an arrow down and zip line all the way down to a new point. So when you're up high, you don't have to stay there. You can take out the people you need to, and then when your cover's blown and you've done your headshots and you're thinking, right, there's no reason for me to stay up here without my head being blown off by anybody else, zip line down, go back to another smaller gun and work your way to another point to go from. Because I must admit, there's a really good place where they've got a missile silo and you can climb up the missile silo and shoot, and there's also a crane there as well, which is quite good. And there's real nice bits for the buggies to come down, and the four-wheel quad bikes. You can drive around on those, and that is very nice because you feel like you have. There's no other way to go but down this valley and push your way down, and you've got like these where doors would be for the blast doors, so you can close the area for the rockets to take off, and you work your way through those. And then there's a base behind it, which is several levels. And at the top level, when you go out the back door, it's just it's flat because it goes uphill round the back as well. So it is quite a nice map. On some of those ones for the Special Forces.
Which I don't have and I refuse to buy.
No, as an expansion pack, is it worth it? Is it not? Don't know if it's worth the money to buy.
Well, the thing is now, you buy Battlefield 2 and it
comes with it.
You've got all the stuff with it, but I put Battlefield 2 and it's just Battlefield 2.
Mm.
And then the expansion was like £20 and it's like, what?
It's not worth £20. It's just... It's basically different characters to play as with a few extra elements. It's nice to play as the SAS and be all out in black, or if you wanted to play
SAS, which are gays,
or Navy SEALs or whatever, but
which
it's
gays.
Just
People's Liberation Army for the win. Infantry spam. Take that.
So
Battlefield 2, for anyone who hasn't played it yet, we highly recommend it.
As well as do you got?
We also recommend 2142 because Adam is going to give me his copy.
We're loading up on these computers so we can have a bit of a one-on-one bash. As well as there is, if you're a console,
you don't get it quick.
If you're a console player and you're kind of like, well, you're talking about a PC game.
Mm. Yeah, tough luck.
It's out on the it's out on console as well. As
console versions suck.
It's not too bad. I must admit, if you've got Xbox 360, download the demo and have a go on that. Not too bad. I thought it was pretty good for a first person shooter. I wouldn't pay the top price for it. Get it cheap.
Well, 2142 is £20 as well on the PC.
Yeah, so if you've got a PC, as long as the spec holds it, it is quite a good game. I was quite impressed with it. I only found it annoying because I found it quite hard to stay on some of the servers. I got getting kicked off on the bigger ones and my computer kept crashing off it. But staying with the small maps and playing with the bots and stuff, where you couldn't go with the Titans, but some of them were really good, especially in the snow, and you're going around these buildings, and there's real nice bits of being able to scoot in where all the buildings go down like skyscrapers, but the ground floor cut in, so that you have it coming over your head slightly, and there's always a railing raised up to your left or right, depending as you're running along. So you've got these real nice bits to scoot in, and some of them have a next level up, so you get some real nice balconies to like snipe from and stuff. And the armor suits.
Snipe? What are you, a sniper?
The armor suits look really nice as well. It's a really nice concept.
My medic dude would kill you.
I'm sure it would.
Knife in the back.
Knife.
And then I'd like resurrect you and do it again and then do it again.
But I must admit, it's a pretty okay game for me, eh?
I wonder if you can resurrect your opponents as a medic. I doubt it, but that'd be cool.
Mm.
Especially if it was a right noob and you just keep bringing him back to life and killing him. get your score way up.
Mm. But you did see we found on news that they're going to be pushing the series a bit further forward, weren't they?
Yeah, their DICE are working on some other stuff. For Xbox, PC and PlayStation.
Mm.
So we'll see what that is. But I would personally like to see a lot of the bugginess in both the games fixed.
Mm. There is a lot.
Because 64-bit isn't officially supported. That needs to change. The only supported OS is XP 32-bit. So that's kind of crap.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason why I've not even played it. It's been on... When I went to Vista, I was just thinking, I just can't be asked for that. So much hassle on XP. I can imagine with my spec computer to have any more luck with Vista.
You can get 2142, come on. I'll kill you with whatever the dudes are. Yeah, I'm probably going to pick that up on a Sunday. If you can convince me.
Well, if I don't have time to come over and play it, all I'll do is I'll bring it up anyway and drop it off for you to have a little bash with it. Ooh,
because I crack your computer and steal your keys and borrow your games.
But
So yeah, Battlefield 2 scores 4 out of 5. Battlefield 2142, I don't think it's as good as Battlefield 2 from what I've played of it before.
Yeah, I would say leave that until next week. Bring it over and we'll have a bash, and next week we'll see what Paul thinks of Battlefield 2142.
But yeah, Battlefield 2 is cheap, and I recommend any like first person shooter fans who like online games play it.
Yeah, if you're fighting.
If Decomp has a PC, that'd probably be a good game to get a big monetary game. Because you've got 64 players and stuff like that.
And the servers are always full.
And even if you can't play it online, there's a few things you can do to increase the number of bots.
Mm.
Which I used to do, but I forgot how to do it.
But, no, definitely a good game out that's out there. There are plenty of other good first-person shooters that are coming out.
Halo.
And also Half-Life 2 Orange, when that finally comes out.
Team Fortress.
That's what I was getting to. Team Fortress.
The original game that had classes.
Yeah. So, because at the end...
Although engineers in that were better because they could build sentry guns.
Yeah.
Which I used to all the time.
But, yeah, I must admit, they need to... Team Fortress 2 is going to be absolutely great, but someone else needs to make a game like Battlefield, but not Battlefield, if you know what I mean. Because Battlefield's great and it's buggy, but someone else needs to make their own version.
Yeah.
So we could get some more into the market of genre characters. So you've got your sniper, special forces, engineer, you know.
Because Team Fortress 2 was originally going to be like Battlefield back in, 1999, 2000. But then obviously Valve saw that Battlefield and games like that had already taken up the serious bit of the market, so Team Fortress went back more to its roots to be more sort of a stylistic, run around these unrealistic symmetrical bases.
Because another one that is like that with that genre is Battlefront.
Well, Star Wars.
Yeah, where you do have the genre where you have an engineer that can build a gun turret. You have pilots, which are good for actually getting into fighters and stuff like that.
That was actually quite a good game.
It was really good, and the great thing about it was...
But quality-wise, it's not up to Battlefield.
No, that was the thing. The quality was never there, But it was quite a good game for going around sniping people out and
Sniping everyone. Play it properly.
Getting a missile launcher and going around with just a stormtrooper rifle and then pulling out a missile launcher and shooting someone, getting on a speeder bike or a stat, and just it's great. And then fair enough, you had the annoying thing of like, you play Battlefield 2 and you're running along and then someone's been upgrading and it's like, right, where are you? You were a stormtrooper a minute ago and then he drops onto your head as Obi-Wan Kenobi and just lightsaber.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the second one for very long. It was good.
I only had the first.
First one I played to death at uni. We played it multiplayer. We networked up all the Xboxes for it, but it got a little bit kind of old after a while, and we stopped playing it. And we got number two. It was great, but it just kind of like, yeah. We didn't all have it, which wasn't a good help. But I mean, when we networked them all up with the hub, a great game for quick close combat maps was always Splinter Cell. Just for the fact that it was one of the first games where you had someone playing stealth in third person with no lethal weapons apart from their own hand-to-hand combat, and then you had someone in first person with full machine gun.
Yeah, that was an interesting idea.
It was nice because you had two gaming styles against each other, which meant that...
Which meant the Splinter Cells, what's his name? Sam Fisher, Capone.
It was nice because you were,
a mercenary. You've got your little sneaking round crap with your bare hands, and I've got this gun. Oh, gee, I see you at the end of the corridor, trying to hide in the corridor.
And they're trying to climb up, and you're scrabbling up the wall. But, you know, it was always good because you're going around and we only played it once when we had full four players, and that was really good because you're coming to each other and you're going around and you're literally being like a security guard. You're doing laps and it's kind of like, this is cool. But you're always keep looking up at these holes and you're seeing all the places that you can't go to because there's doorways that only you can unlock because it's your building that you're looking after. But you see air vents and ducts and gaps that go up into the lifts and stuff, and you know, I can't get up there. But someone may be there. And for all you know, you're looking at this black area, and for all you know, there is a spy just stood there staring back at you, and you know you can't see him. And the worst one is you're going along, all of a sudden someone will just drop down, hang upside down, and you'll just go, and you'll be picked up by your head, swung round, and your neck will be broken. But I must admit, when I was a spy, I never killed anybody. If you kill them, they respawn. You go down and go, and all of a sudden they lose consciousness and their screen goes all blurry. Their head drops down to the side, they knock unconscious, and their body will stay there and you can run for it, get to where you want, and then it'll count down and then they'll gain consciousness, stand back up, and everything goes a bit woozy and blurry, and you can get really far away from them. But there's loads of cool little things.
A bit like Alien vs. Predator.
Yeah.
Where you, as an alien, you could get up on the ceiling.
Yeah.
And you really had to hide as an alien because anyone's guns would just take you out. There were two strategies. One, hide yourself away, wait for someone to walk past, or charge around the corner really quickly and get some.
Yeah, you had that. It was like a first person.
You needed the speed and being able to move around and hide really quickly.
You were like a Ferrari that when you hit a wall dead on, you go up it. But then as a predator, you could cloak, move away. The great thing about...
Yeah, but the aliens could see the cloak.
Yeah. But... Because
they could, like, smell you or whatever.
Yeah, the pheromones. But even, I must admit, playing the single player, the great thing about it was as a predator, you had the advantage. If you wanted to, you could find an air duct, climb up into it, sit there for a while, and then inject yourself, heal yourself back up again, sit there and wait until it all charged back up, do it again, you're fully charged, batteries are charged, come back out, and start attacking people. And the AI for that was great because you start freaking them out and they will start shooting randomly at stuff and you can get them spun round and then you're like, and if you shoot them with a spear gun you can take their head clean off into the wall, which is great. But multiplayer was a very good game,
although the level design was crap.
Yeah, it needed a lot more work doing to it, but it is great. And more games like that would be brilliant where you're having different styles of people, because I must admit, the concept, do you ever remember watching the video for the concept of Halo, where it was going to be a third-person game, and it was kind of like, if you're more of a driver, you get in the car. It was a bit like how Battlefront was, but not as much. Battlefront is, I want to get in the helicopter. Oh, I crashed it. Because you're crap. But this is more like, you know, the pilots can get in the pilot and you can do more of a pilot thing. It's not just a vehicle you can jump in. You've got more control, like a sim pilot. And they were going on about that you, as a vehicle, you can really stay in this car for a long time. It's just not something you use to travel around. You're the car guy, and then you've got someone who's the sniper guy, and you've got someone who's the rocket launcher guy, and then you've got the standard grunt. But more, I must admit, more of this kind of like first person, third person style is perfect. Different types of shooting and stuff.
Well, one of my favorite shooter games was Giant Citizen Kabuto.
Not heard of that one.
Dude, it was awesome. There were three types of people you could play as. There were like regular sort of human, but they were more like fish dudes. Who, you know, have guns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There were these weird, like, sea women type people who were just weird and nobody ever played as them. Or you had the giant. And so basically you could have one map with like, you would have like 15 people playing as the little fish dudes, and you'd have one person playing as a giant. And the fish dudes can shoot stuff and they can build their own base.
Yeah.
Set up base defenses, all first person.
Oh, that's cool.
And the giant can just like come in and try to take them on. It's 7 or 8 years old now, but I'll see if it actually works on Vista. Try it out.
See, more games need to be made like that, because I keep going on about the idea of just more. You just need that more, but just enough, not overflowing stuff. Ooh, he's looking.
I'm looking for it. New expression blend.
But,
recognize it now?
Yeah, I don't actually recognize the... Probably something I've looked at and stared at the original big box thing. And
you have, yeah.
Never picked it up. Because the thing was, I was limited on PC games because A, wasn't my PC, and B, my dad's PC was never that great.
Yeah, that was it. It came out before XP came out. Because I remember, because it came with my sound card. And the Audity drivers for XP when XP came out, as I moved to XP, like, during the release candidate stage, were shit.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, struggling to get it to work with XP properly. Interplay. Oh man, that shows how old it is. So yeah, I'll install that and you can see it at some point.
No, that's cool.
Because it's a really funky game. I used to play it one-on-one, with my dad being the giant, and me being one of the little guys by myself, and I would win. As a giant, you would have to eat stuff basically to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it just, you know, you get huge in the end.
Oh, that's cool. See, more games need this wackiness.
They were working on Giants 2, but it was, you know, binned. So yeah, Giants scores 4 out of 5 as well.
But yeah, I must admit, game developers really need to get some more quirkiness going on with first person shooters, because
they need to experiment more.
Yeah, they seem to be going round and round and round. Because I do like this idea where they did with portals.
Yeah, it was lame. They need to experiment more but have good ideas.
Yeah, you know, that's a good idea, let's experiment. But it's not great for a game. It's alright for a device, or, you know, having it in there where you wanted a first person, more of a puzzle section sort of thing. Or
we don't have time for puzzles in like a 64 player multiplayer game.
Or a defensive weapon, but not a full game based off the using of just the portal device. But yeah, more stuff that, like, for enough, I've never wanted, I was tempted to get it with, what would you call it? What's the latest PC Xbox 360 crossover joint game?
Shadowrun.
See, Shadowrun was a nice idea. First person with magic and the ability to teleport and the little gliders and stuff. You know, they're pushing the boundary a bit there, but you could tell they were being safe. Ooh, look at that. Now that's a giant. Or is that the fish dude?
That's a giant. Yeah, that was it. You actually, when you play as a giant, you actually view it from like his mouth. So you could like see his mouth there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, when we finish the show, I'll install that.
Mm, in case it crashes.
Yeah, I don't want to lose the hour of recording.
No, otherwise we will just postpone the show. But no, I must admit, they need to go back and look at some of this old stuff and think, wow, we need
Let's
this.
Redo Giants!
Because one thing that I did like about
Battlefront 2 was there were some space areas where you had two spaceships, which were really nice maps, but the only way to get from one to the other was coming across in a ship. And there was as soon as you come out.
No help.
Sorry, you spun your way around the wrong way. There you go. You've got these two maps, which make up quite a large map, but surrounded in a map that doesn't contain anything because it's a space map. And you can
What game are we talking about?
Battlefront. Not Battlefield, Battlefront. Star Wars Battlefront 2. And it's like a Star Destroyer and a
Battlefront 2 had space battles, didn't it?
Which was nice because you had your map and they had their map and you couldn't interchange. You basically had a space battle in the middle and you were trying to get to the ship, destroy their shield generators, which would make all the shields drop on the hangars. And as soon as that did, boom, your whole fleet can come in, land, and you can start having a battle on their place, and you had to fight your way down the corridors to the control room and destroy it. Very much kind of like with the Titan thing, but it was more about the fact that there was no land or anything like that. It was all about the spaceships.
Space.
And I must admit, it pushes a lot more.
The voyages of the Starship Enterprise. and whatever is after that. And it's continuing mission or voyage to explore whatever.
Strange new worlds.
And new civilizations.
To be able to go where no man has gone before.
Oh man, do you remember that really crappy Star Trek game from, it was 1998, where you played as a Klingon warrior?
The first person shooter one. My mate Sean had that. That was really, really bizarre. It was very much like it was ran off Jedi Knight 2 sort of graphics.
I seem to remember it used the Unreal 1 engine.
Yeah, yeah.
Unreal 1, what a game that was. Good game. You start off in the prison ship and you get out and you read all these little things. Wow, awesome.
Some things just need to be redone or looked at.
Well, the trouble is if they did redo it, it would suck.
Yeah. I think one thing they paid too much attention
to. Because there was one level in Unreal 1 where there was like a small village, like pretty far away. Well, it wasn't far away, it was just around the corner, but back then it was far away.
Yeah.
And there was a church there. And you could get up in the top of the church and there'd be two guys running like on the ground. They'd like, when you got to the church, that would initiate their trigger to run at the village.
Yeah.
And you could like take those guys out, and then there was like the secret passage and one of the gravestones, and it led into the other village and all. It was, I mean, they really put a lot of work into the levels back then. Like work to make it fun, not just work to make it look good. Like by faffing around, spending 6 months making a pipe along all the stuff.
I must admit that I'm going to be interested to see what happens with the Mass Effect. What's the Crysis?
That's going to be good.
Yeah, the engine Crysis. Now Crysis itself is going to be absolutely amazing, but I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with Crysis. Who's going to buy it? Who's going to start Crysis?
I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to play it.
No, I mean the engine. At the end of the day, it's a game, but it's also to sell their new engine for other people to buy.
Yeah, who cares about the engine? You can't play an engine. It's like having a car with just an engine.
Yeah, but then someone's going to buy make a shell to put the engine in, and it's going to be great.
Nah, it's going to suck.
We'll have to wait and see, and annoyingly, it's
you know the sort of companies which will buy the engine. There'll be companies who have no reason, who, you know, they just need to buy that engine and say, yeah, we're using that engine, and that's their only, like,
thing.
Plus side. And they spend all their money licensing the engine, and then they forget to develop a game.
They think that, the work's already been done for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I must admit, Crysis is going to be another good first-person shooter to look forward to with the light engine and all the physics and the shadows and everything, but fair enough, you're going to need a computer to be able to run it. I must admit, I ain't. I'm going to have to wait until the new computer before I can run something like that. Is it going to be... Where do you think on spec line it's going to be? Are you going to be middle, low end of it? Or
me? I'm going to be middle end.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's going to be high, but high without DirectX 10. So that's still high. But it won't be ultra high.
I need a new PC.
But we're running it in DirectX 10 mode, we're probably really slow anyway.
Yeah.
Even with the high-end cards.
Because you have to wait for the really good DirectX 10 cards to come out.
Yeah, the ones that can run games at more than, you know, 20 frames per second.
Yeah.
Especially because I need to run it at 1920 by 1200 as well. Because with all the... Even with, like, the Lost Planet demo, with the most expensive DirectX 10 card now, at that resolution, you'd be talking to, like, 10 or 15 frames per second.
It feels like you're going old school again. It's no point in having the graphics.
I used to play Quake 3 at 12 frames per second, and I was happy with that. Because I wanted the high texture detail.
Yeah.
And I was willing to sacrifice those 10 frames per second and play it at 12 frames to have the higher texture detail. I was mad back then. That was when I couldn't afford a decent graphics card. I had, like, my Voodoo 2 or something.
Oh god, I remember when my dad he bought an extra one and he had two Voodoo 2s piggybacking off each other.
Voodoo 2 SLI.
That was back in the day.
Oh no. Yeah, did I get a Voodoo Banshee? I can't remember. Yeah, scary days. Anyway, are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, we are done for this episode. Good, we can go back to playing Giants and Battlefield.
We shall catch you guys
next week on episode 81, where we'll be talking about loads of funky things, like
anything else we find from E3.
Yeah, and whatever else we find.
Also, Paul will be giving his touch on Battlefield 2142.
I think I've already done it, but I'll redo it anyway.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next week.